we've been looking at for 10 days, 2 weeks. Demonic oppression, dealing with them, showing what it is, showing how it functions. Yesterday, we gave some scriptures that just generated the power of God. Remember, word, spirit, power. Word plus spirit equals power. The word of God plus the spirit of God equals the power of God. Now, we're going to try to finish this today. And remember, we can do anything we want to do because we don't have to worry about a lot of things because station. Now, I want you to think about this for a moment. And it may rub the wrong way, but that's good. We have to realize something. That in reality, we have to think there's a period in our lives that we were not Christians. Is that a fair statement? The answer is yes. There was a period in our life that we were not Christians. Now, and during that period, during that occasion, we did not have any protection. None whatsoever. We were streakers. We had no protection at all. No protection. And we gave up certain things to the enemy. We did. That opened doors for demonic oppression. That's why people that are unsaved are so miserable. That's why they're always looking for something and doing something, going somewhere and doing this and doing that and involving themselves in all kinds of evil, okay? Because the doors have been open in their life for demonic oppression and demon activity. That's why they do what they do. Now, this person comes to Jesus. Yay, team. Amen. And they are born again. That's good. But here is the difficulty. Here's where some folks who disagree, that's fine. And even get mad. Because we are born again does not mean that the demonic oppression automatically leaves. Wow, how do I know? Because I know folks that are Christians that have all kinds of evil thoughts. They do all kinds of evil things. They in that circle of grouping, they worry, they have anxiety, they have this, they have that. Now, if they were saved, and they are, why do they have oppression, anxiety, fear, pain, and all these things? Shouldn't they have gone away? But they didn't. They didn't. People get saved and are just as sick physically as they were 2 hours before. What's happened is they had redemption. Redemption occurred. The old man was replaced by the new man, but the legal right of occupancy is still a problem. There was a book written called Why Do Good People Do Bad Things? Remember that book. Why Do Good People Do Bad Things? I'm telling you why. I've never read the book. I know the title. That's all I know about it. But I know what the guy's going to say. I'm telling you what he's going to say. Is that as a child of God, how come they gossip? Uh-oh. How come they cause all kinds of havoc? How come they're full of pride? And all these things. But they're saved, right? Yeah. Because here's what's happened. They need to understand how the spiritual realm works, and they don't. And you hear words like this, well, I'm trying to do better. I'm trying to get better. I'm trying to be better. I'm trying. But they never succeed. Because they don't understand something. Somewhere in their course of living, when they were unsaved, doors were open. We talked about that in a whole session, two sessions, two teachings. We talked about that, the opening of the doors. They're Christian, but the doors are still open. That's why they have a hard time. That's why their mind has not been renewed. That's why their mind has not been set free from all the thoughts, because they've never had a renewal. Now, let's look at some scriptures here that bear this out. Now, here's God's strategy for deliverance. It's found in Exodus chapter 23, verse 30. I already have alluded to this, you know, in the beginning. Little by little, God said to the Israelites, I will drive them out before you until you have increased enough to take possession of the land. You can read that. See what's happened? God used the nation of Israel to teach us spiritual truths. And in giving of the Torah, the first five, and the understanding of the inhabitants of the land around them, and trying to get to the promised land, he gave them a plan to remove the inhabitants of the land. Isn't that true? He said, okay, here's what you got to do. Here's the Philistines. You got to deal with them this way. Here's this. Here's that. And these five or six nations that occupied the land on the way to the promised land, they had to go through these occupied territories to get where they needed to go. You see, and if you look at them and you look at God's instructions to them to get to the promised land after they cross the river, God actually showed them how to overcome the inhabitants, the Perizzites and the Hittites and all the Tites, and they represented demonic spirits. I did a whole series on that 5-8 years ago. See, and here's what he showed us. Now, I'm going to read this passage again because, as Jamie says, for those that are in the back, Exodus 23:30, little by little, I will drive them out before you until you have increased enough to take possession of the land. That's the NIV. Little by little, I'll drive them out. I'll help you to drive them out until you get the possession of the land. You see, it doesn't happen all at one time. Every bad nation was not kicked out at one time, were they? No, they travel ways and there's that group. They travel another ways and there's that group. They travel a third ways and there's somebody else. Because our promised land is demonic oppression that bounces against us all the time to keep us from being fulfilled in God and to be the type of Christian God wants us to be. That's why all the fighting. That's why all the battles. Because the enemy does not want you victorious. He always wants you fighting another enemy. So 1 week it's that, 1 month it's here, there, and here you go. So he asks, how fast is little by little? How fast am I going to be set free? The answer is in the latter portion of the verse. Yes, it's increase and possess the land. It's based on the rate, hear me, that we mature, hear me, in our spiritual walk. Because we have folks that never grow up. They never get maturity. So they're always having problems. Hear this, having problems there, having problems here. See, we need the Holy Spirit to help us to grow and cleanse us of these oppressions so we can go where God wants us to go. And our freedom depends upon our ability to maintain our progress once we have arrived there. See, Israel didn't go, okay, we're going to get rid of the Hittites, which were evil people. I have history books about the people, the Hittites and the Perizzites and all those ites. They were wicked. You couldn't ask for anything more wicked than these groups because they were demonic. They were bad. So what happened, once they went through that area, the location of a particular group, each of these groups represented different spiritual things. Each of these groups represented different spiritual things. That's different oppressions working against the child of God. That's why one thing happens, and then 2 weeks later, another thing happens, and the month later, another thing happens, and a year later, another thing happens. Because what's going on is these groups. Now, here's what happened. When they went through a location, they never went back, did they? Once they went through the land of the Perizzites, you don't read they turned around and went back home. They didn't turn around and went back again. Once they defeated an enemy, they kept going. They kept going toward the promised land. See, it's our ability to maintain what we have won in the spirit realm. It's our ability. It's us. All right, God, I'm having problems here with that particular area. God, help me. You work your way through it by the power of God, and you don't go back to it. You don't double back. Now, if you do, that is a hazardous place to be. Think of this in a natural realm. You defeat an enemy, and then you go back. Oh, there's the one that just, oh my, here they are again. How angry they would be at you. I mean, how angry they would be. Think of that. How full of anger and hatred and malice and evil they would be when you return back. A person loots the store and then goes back. How angry the store owner would be. It'd be see, that's why they go to other places. They rob this jewelry store and break all the windows and steal all the stuff. And then they go to another one. They never go back to the same one again. Isn't that true? Now, see, God doesn't want us to end up more oppressed. See, when the ground has been cleared for deliverance from these areas, don't go back. You see, and listen, as each area, we call it area one, as each area is cleansed, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, more and more maturity happens, more and more activity goes on. See, I'm going to look at some scriptures that concerning Christians and demons. Are they there? Yeah, they're there. Let me just interrupt this right here. Doctor said the surgery went well. Sore today, ice and Tylenol. Hey, that's great. That's Ken. After the program yesterday, he told me that he was having some surgery today. Those that are in New Hampshire would know Ken. And the surgery went well. And he's sore, but he's all right. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah for that. Those that are in New Hampshire in Sutton would understand what that is. But all of us, we praise God for Ken being in the Sutton Church. Ken being helped today. Praise God. Amen. That's good news. Hey, we can stop everything for prayer. We can stop everything for praise. All right. Now, I'm going to give you these scriptures. Here's Peter and Judas. Listen to this. Amazing. Matthew 16:23. Jesus said to Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Now, the implication is that Satan himself or representative was speaking through Peter at the moment. Everybody's calling right now. Is that interesting? We just keep calling. Let them call. Mark 8:33 and Matthew 6:23. Listen to this. Luke 23. Check that. Luke 22:3 and John 13:27. Look at this. We read, "And Satan entered into Judas." Now, we could question whether or not Judas was saved. But irregardless, out of his sin, he opened himself up to being controlled by either a high-level demon or Satan himself to accomplish Satan's will. We know what happened there. We know what happened there. Now, let's deal with spirit-filled Christians dealing with the demonic. Notice what I said. Spirit-filled Christians dealing with the demonic. Again, Mark 16:17. Believers are to cast out devils. From whom are we to cast them out? Unbelievers. That's not wise. You see, if you're an unbeliever, don't get involved with this. You're going to get eaten for lunch. Believers are to deal with this, not unbelievers. I've heard some unbelievers trying to deal with this, and the demons literally slap them down. Slap, and they hit the floor physically. You better know what you're doing, and you better be full of the Holy Ghost when you deal directly with demon activity. They know who you are, and they know much power you have. Acts 5:3, and Peter said to Ananias, "Why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit. See what happened? They opened the door to Satan, and he had come through it. See, the enemy put that in their heart, and they lied to the Spirit of God. 1 Corinthians 10, 18 through 22. Paul doesn't want us to be in agreement and partners with demons. If we, as a child of God, could not allow that to happen, or it couldn't happen, why did Paul say it? Ask yourself, why did he say this? If it couldn't happen, why did he say it? Christians just absolutely. 1 Corinthians 12, 2 and 3, Paul warns spirit-filled believers. States that no one, if speaking by the Spirit of God, can curse Jesus. Now he leaves a question open about believers speaking by other spirits than the Spirit of God. Why did he say that? I mean, why did he say that? Look at a verse. He's warning spirit-filled believers a warning. If it couldn't happen, why did he say it? 2 Corinthians chapter 2, 10 and 11. Scripture shows us that there's potential for Satan out with us. We must be aware of his schemes, devices, snares, hooks, and tension. Now, in this context of this passage, it is possibility of the sin of unforgiveness opening a door for demonic oppression. How many Christians you know, Christian, have unforgiveness in their heart about something? Think of that for a second. How many Christians you know are running around full of unforgiveness? Borderline hatred. Borderline hatred. You see? Boy, they just bow up like a big bullfrog out on a lily pad. Just blow up. I mean, they blow up like a blimp. Just swelling up. That guy. Full of unforgiveness, open the doors. And they wonder why there's certain other things happening in their life because they opened the door. 2 Corinthians 11, 4, we see the potential for deception by Satan's cunningness. There's a possibility to receive a different spirit than the spirit received previously. 2 Corinthians 11, 4, open doors. 2 Corinthians 12, 7, the spirit, listen to this. The scripture points out the potential for messengers of Satan to torment or buffet us, particularly when pride is an issue. Remember Satan's persecution of Christians, pride of the Pharisees, while Paul being one of the most zealous ones. Paul was not exempt from having the curse of sowing and reaping work in his life. It came back on him, did it not? They hated him. He sowed, and they got back at him. 2 Timothy 2:25, Paul writes, if God preadventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. What happened? They've lost the truth due to be taken captive. They lost it. 2 Timothy 2:26, the next verse. And that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Who is he talking to? Not the unbeliever. He's talking to the Christians, the child of God. See, there is a potential being taken captive by the devil and his will to do his will. Remember, Paul is writing to Timothy, and he's talking about spirit-filled Christians. Not talking about the rank unbeliever. James 4:7, the devil will be near any time he thinks that we are vulnerable. Anytime there's a possibility that we will let him reclaim ground that he has previously lost. He will come around. If he can see that he can reclaim the ground that was taken away from him, it's like the roaches. They always go back. Or he thinks we've given up and let him have the ground. Well, I'll just give up on that. What? You fought hard for that. Well, you know, I just let him take it. You know, I'll just let him occupy the same ground that I won. See, there's a time when weakness and overwhelming problems gain ground to the enemy. Hear me? Said it right. There's times when we are weak and we're overwhelmed that we gain, or let me say this, lose ground to the enemy. See, you must exercise our authority and obtain the authority. It's coming, probably first of the year. The authority of the believer. Teaching right here on Freedom. We got to find out how to maintain what we have won. Again, we sing these songs, and we all have the warm fuzzies. I went to the enemy's camp and took back what he'd done for me, what he's taken from me. Really? And when I teach that, I preach that, actually. What has Satan stolen from you? It's one of my conference messages. What has Satan stolen from you? Really? When's the last time you went to the enemy's camp and got back anything? Because they don't know how. You see, when the enemy sees we're determined and we're not going to give place to temptations, but using the word of God, he's going to flee from us when we understand what to do. How about spirit-filled Christians dealing with demonic activity? That's what we're talking about. 1 Peter 5:8. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking who he may devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith. Now, who's he talking to? Spirit-filled Christians, isn't he? This is all people of God. And he's saying, watch out, spirit-filled Christian. You're going to be devoured if you don't resist. Well, the devil came in and I just can't do nothing about it. Well, then go ahead and get eaten up. Because that's what's going to happen. 1 John 4:1-3. Jesus, Spirit of God, is moving. All right, listen to this, what John instructs us to test the spirits. Now, who's he talking to? Spirit-filled Christians. First John 4, 1 through 3. He's talking to spirit-filled Christians. You better understand this. You better test. The spirits out there, that demonic oppression is sitting right at the door. 1 John 5, 18 and 19. The verse shows us potential for harm from the evil one. And it's necessary that we keep ourselves protected. Because it says the whole world is under the control of the evil one. That's what it said. 1 John 5, 18 and 19. You see? You better be protected. Well, I'm saved. Yeah. Thus, the more you better be protected. Now, let me show you four levels of abominations. Things that drive God far from his sanctuary. Ezekiel 8, 5 and 6. An idol named jealousy at the north gate. It provoked God to jealousy. Ezekiel 8, 5 and 6. In Ezekiel 8, 7 through 13, 70 elders worshiping idols, demons, inside of the temple in the dark. See, this is what God wouldn't see. God probably was, hey, let's go in the dark here, not light any lamps. God will just worship these demons, and God will not see us. Isn't that amazing? Ezekiel 8, 14 and 15. A group of women weeping for Tammuz, which is the Babylonian god, who's supposed to die annually and subsequently be resurrected. So at the time of the year that God was supposed to die, and a group of women started crying to get him resurrected. Wow. Ezekiel 8, 16, 18. 25 priests with backs toward the temple and faces toward the east, bowing down to the sun, S-U-N, God. Want to read some interesting events? Read Ezekiel 8, 5 through 18, verse 5 through 18. Let's continue. This is four things that happened that took the glory of God from the presence in the temple. Listen to this. Next chapter, Ezekiel chapter 9, verse 3, and chapter 10, verse 4. The throne above the cherubim to the threshold of the temple. All right? And in Ezekiel 10, 18 and 19, the threshold of the temple to the entrance of the east gate of the Lord's house. I mean, the glory went gone. And then Ezekiel 11, 22 and 23, from within the city to the mountains east of it. And finally, God just completely leaves, gone. You see, when the Holy Spirit comes and sets up the inhabitants within us, when he comes in us, the new believer, the reverse process occurs. He progressively cleans the house as we allow and work with him. 2 Corinthians 7, 9, Philippians 2, 12 through 13. Until we are completely holy. It's called sanctification. Sanctification. What's that? It means set apart. For godly purpose. That's what the word sanctification means. Set apart for godly purpose. Set apart for godly purpose. See, sanctification. In the Old Testament, excuse me, they would sanctify, devil hates this. Get lost, little demon. Just go away. Just go away, little lapdog. What happened in the Old Testament when they would sacrifice unto the Lord, they set apart vessels. There were vessels that were set apart for the use in the temple. They were sanctified. They were set apart. And they could not be used for anything else. And there were laws there. There were certain guidelines there that one would take in dealing with these vessels. Remember when Belshazzar was having this wonderful, wild, no holds barred party? And he had this idea to go to get the vessels that was taken out of the temple in Jerusalem and use them for perversion. So they got the vessels, brought them in, and that's when the handwriting went on the wall. Belshazzar, you've been found in the balances, and you've been weighing the balances and found wanting. And that night, he died. He got killed as an invader was going underneath the walls. They dug a corridor, a tunnel underneath, and no one knew they were there. And then when they got so drunk and so full of whatever they were doing and couldn't do anymore that night, bang, he was murdered. He was found in the balances and was wanted. He was short, Belshazzar. Why? Because he had taken the sanctified vessels that was sanctified unto the Lord for God's use in the temple, and he perverted it. And out he went. You see, the sanctification process. You say, well, so what shall we do? You begin to understand some things. You begin to progress. You begin to go forward. You begin to ask the Holy Spirit to empower you. You begin to understand how it works. You ask the Holy Spirit to open your eyes that you may see clearly, that you may understand what this stuff is and how it works and how the Spirit of God can help you with it. That's what you begin to do. That's what you begin to do. You begin to do that. And you begin to move forward day by day. And once you, hear me, once you gain the ground, once you gain the ground, don't go back again. Gain the ground. Gain the ground. And don't go back again. Ever.